As we've been studying Bible authority, God's ways, revealed in God's Word, are sufficient, they are enough, they are all we need to accomplish God's purposes. Paul told the young preacher Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is God-breathed, and it is profitable. That is the Word of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We don't need some man, some human scholar to tell us what the Word of God says, or to substitute what he says over the Word of God. Peter writes in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, "As his divine power," that is God's divine power, "has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue." So the question here is, how do we know what is authorized and what is not? Paul would write in Colossians 3 in verse 17, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Now, God has given us a pattern by which we establish authority in religious matters. The Hebrew writer tells us in chapter 8, beginning in verse 4, excuse me, "For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, 'See that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain.'" And Paul would again write in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 17, "For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church." You see, our purpose, our task, is to properly use God's authoritative word, to know and to obey. Paul writes about this in Ephesians 3, verses 3 and 4. He wrote in 2 Timothy 2 in verse 15 that we are to study the Word of God, to show ourselves approved of God. Now, unless we know how to establish and apply Bible authority, we're not going to be able to, as Paul says in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13, hold fast the pattern of sound words. So, how do we establish New Testament authority? God's authority in the New Testament. There's two things that we can look at: command or direct statement in the New Testament. Christ has either spoken it or he has inspired a teacher. For example, we have a command, Mark 16 and verse 15, where Mark's account of Jesus' great commission says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's the command. That's a direct statement, to go and preach the gospel to every creature. There's also a direct statement in Mark 16, in verse 16, that says, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." We could stop right there and spend a whole other 15-minute lesson on that one verse alone. To illustrate the point here, though, we look at the Lord's Supper. What are we to do? Well, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 24, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said," he's referring to Jesus, his institution of the Lord's Supper. He says, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Notice what Jesus says. "This do. This do. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The apostolic approved example in the New Testament would be like what Paul states in 1 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 17, where we are told to imitate, to become like Paul. He says, in his ways in Christ. The direct statement or the command is to do so. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Follow his apostolic example, his pattern. Philippians 3 and verse 17, Philippians 4 and verse 9. The consistent pattern of doctrine and practice for individual Christians and congregations under apostolic teaching and guidance is what we see here. You can go all the way back to when the church was established in Acts 2 and verse 42. The illustration of an apostolic approved example, let's look at the Lord's Supper again. When are we to eat it? Acts 20 and verse 7 says, now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. And then you read in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 20, therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. And he says in verse 33, therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. And then we have a necessary inference from the New Testament, a conclusion that is necessarily based on the information that is supplied. Roy Cogdell, in his book, Walking by Faith, says on page 14, that which, though neither expressly stated or specifically exemplified, yet is necessarily implied by the clear import and meaning of the language used. Now, this deals with what we find in Scripture. An example of that would be Matthew 3 and verse 16. We necessarily infer that Jesus went down into the water to be baptized. Another illustration of that would be the Lord's Supper. How often are we to eat it? Well, it's implied from 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20, again in verse 30, Acts 20, and verse 7. The necessary inference is inescapable. It's not merely a reasonable inference. In John 21, verses 20 through 23, it says, Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to do with you? You follow me. Then this saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? Merely what we would like to infer is basically the example that we have here. We twist the scriptures sometimes to mean what we would like them to mean. A necessary inference in the scriptures is a conclusion for which there is no alternative, from which there is no escape. No other conclusion can be scripturally drawn. Jesus used necessary inference to teach the truth. In Matthew 22, verses 31 and 32, Jesus drew a necessary inference from the tense of a verb that affirms the truth of resurrection. And we see its weight of authority when you read verse 29 of that passage. In Matthew 19, verses 3 through 6, Jesus used necessary inference to affirm that one cannot put away their spouse for any reason. The inspired writers of the New Testament used necessary inference to teach the truth. An example, Hebrews 7 and verse 12. And Jesus expects us to correctly use necessary inferences. We can look at passages like Mark 2, verses 9 through 11, Luke chapter 12, verses 54 through 59, John chapter 9, verses 30 and 33 through 33. Man used necessary inference to conclude Jesus was from God. So let's close out with this point. Man-made rules or divinely approved pattern for how to establish God's authority. The best example of what we can look at as far as saying this is approved example, this is necessary inference or this is direct or a command, direct statement or command can be found in Acts chapter 15 in what we would call the Jerusalem discussion or Jerusalem council in verses 6 through 20. Authority was in question. Must the Gentiles be circumcised and commanded to keep the law of Moses in order to be saved? That's what they were discussing in chapter 15 of Acts in verse 1 and again in verse 5. The apostolic example of Gentile salvation was without the law of Moses. Verses 7 through 11. The necessary inference that we read about is in verse 12. That their conversions were accompanied by miracles. Of their obedience to the gospel without the law of Moses, inferring then that God approved of their salvation. The direct statement of Scripture proves that the Gentiles are called and saved by the gospel of Christ without the law of Moses. Acts chapter 15, verses 13 through 19. Now, any one of these ways to establish New Testament authority is sufficient. It is enough to prove God's binding authority. We don't need all three ways to establish authority being present before anything is authorized. In other words, before binding authority exists. The example, any one of these was enough to establish God's authority on Gentile salvation without the law of Moses. We see that in the Jerusalem discussion in Acts 15, verses 7 through 19. We see the example of the Lord's Supper, Acts 20 and verse 7. Without necessary inference, we have no authority for how often we eat it. And what about our giving? The necessary inference that we find in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2, without necessary inference, we have no authority to lay by in store every Sunday. You see, without a God-approved way to establish Bible authority, we will never be able to do all the things in the name of Jesus, in the name of Christ. Colossians 3 and verse 17. And without the proper authority, everyone will go on their own way and worship God how they want to and not God's way. I reference you back to Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. As Jesus was winding down his Sermon on the Mount, he said that there will be those that come to him and say, Lord, Lord, look at all the things that we've done. And I'm paraphrasing here. Look at all the things that we've done in your name. And he basically tells them, just because you put my name on what you're doing does not mean you have authority. And because of that, he says, I will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. You see, God has also revealed the nature of his authority. God has told us everything that we need to know. And what we should do, what we better do, is follow God's authority alone and leave man's thoughts, desires, and plans out of the whole mixture. Now, you may not agree with this lesson. You may think that we need to adjust God's authority to accommodate society's needs. You may look at the Word of God and say that it needs to change to apply to the social justices or injustices of this society today. The Bible does not need to change. What needs to change is man. Man needs to change to fit God's authority. If you'd like to discuss this lesson with me again, you can email me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. You can go to the church's website, church@eastside.com, and listen to this lesson again. Thank you very much.